hear me? All right. There, now I think it's working. It's good to be here with you this morning. We're going to be looking into God's Word. And before that, I'd like to open up with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you that we can gather together. We gathered in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus, remembering him in the first meeting. And now we pray that your Spirit would teach us all through your Word, that you would help us to remember the things that you are teaching us this morning in the days ahead, that they would be a source of strength. Your Word would strengthen us in our Christian walk. I just pray that the things that come out of my mouth will be according to your Word, and that you would encourage us all and challenge us all. In Jesus' name, amen. So there are about somewhere around 8 billion people in this world right now, and we all have something in common. We're all born sinners, right? Born to this world as sinners. You know, the moment someone who is convicted of their sins and knows that they are deserving of hell, the moment that person believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, when the person believes in Christ Jesus, who died for his sin, was buried, and rose again, the moment that sinner believes, that is the moment of spiritual birth. I heard it once said, if you're born twice, you will only die once. If you're born once, you're going to die twice. Paul describes spiritual birth in Colossians chapter 1. You don't have to turn there, but he says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness. We talked about that this morning. The power of darkness, and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. If you are here as a believer in Jesus Christ, aren't you thankful that Jesus Christ has delivered you from the power of darkness? Aren't you relieved that you have redemption through his blood, that your sins are forgiven, and that you're not going to end up in the lake of fire? I know I am. No matter how bad your day, your week, your month, your year, or even your life goes, the fact that Jesus Christ has forgiven you of your sins, has forgiven me of my sins, rescued me from eternal judgment, and given me eternal life, those truths give me complete peace and contentment. We need to speak those truths to ourselves and to one another daily so that we do not become discouraged. How can we become discouraged when we are heaven bound? Well, because we have an enemy, right? There is a false teaching out there that tells unbelievers, just believe on Christ and your life will be wonderful. Jesus will solve all your problems and you'll be very prosperous. You're going to get rich. Just name it, claim it. You'll live happily ever after. Well, this is a false gospel. You know, what is the initial purpose of the need to get saved? It's because we are under God's judgment. We are sinners on the way to the lake of fire, but God does not want us to go there. He's not willing that any should perish, right? And so that's why he sent his son Jesus to be born into this world, just like you and me, but one thing different, he was without sin. You know, Jesus Christ became our substitute on the cross, and sinners need to have their sins forgiven and receive eternal life from the only one who can save them. And the only one who can save them is Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the moment we receive the Lord Jesus as our Savior, we become a child of God, born from above. Do you notice that when you got saved, if you're here as a believer, God doesn't just zap us into heaven. He doesn't do that the moment we're saved. He leaves us in a world that is under the control of an enemy, a world that does not love the Lord Jesus. And we need to recognize who the real enemy is. You know, I have a question. Is there any person living on this earth who we should regard as our enemy? Well, the answer is no. But you might say, there are so many wicked people in the world, really wicked people, who do so many evil things. Aren't they our enemies as Christians? Well, yes, there are many evil, wicked people throughout this world, some of whom maybe even have caused heartache and pain for us in our lives. But we need to ask ourselves again, who is our real enemy? Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. In these verses, Paul is telling the believers in Ephesus to be strong in the Lord and to put on the whole armor of God. And we're going to read verses 10 to 12. Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So, who is our real enemy? Well, it's the devil, the principalities, the powers, the rulers of the darkness of this age, the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Those are our real enemy. You know, behind every evil and wicked person in this world are these forces of darkness. You know, Satan and his demonic forces, and we see them all kind of ranked. I don't know, quite totally understand all the rankings of Satan's demonic forces. But one thing I do know is they hate our Lord Jesus Christ. They hate his name. They don't want the Lord Jesus Christ to get glory. And likewise, they do not want our lives to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Instead, what do they want to do? They want to neutralize any power of the Spirit of God working in our lives. So we as believers in Jesus Christ need to know that we have an enemy in our lives. We as believers in Jesus Christ need to know our enemy, and we need to know that this moment of spiritual birth into God's family, we are here in this world that is under the influence of Satan. You know, spiritual birth through Jesus Christ does not bring us to heaven right away. I just said that before. We don't get zapped into heaven. We are left in a spiritual battlefield until Jesus Christ calls us home through either death or the rapture of the church. You know, that's a little different message than the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel, isn't it? That we're here in a spiritual battle. So we need to know our enemy and know that he is the one influencing the evil in this world. When someone wrongs us, we need to remember that they are either being controlled or influenced by the evil one. We as believers entered spiritual warfare the moment of our spiritual birth. You know, thank God for the body of Christ. You know, a new believer, you know, you just think of a baby. Think of a little baby on a battlefield. We wouldn't leave them there, would we? They'd be helpless. But a new believer needs love and care, don't they? Thank God for the body of Christ, and we need to make sure new believers understand the gospel in depth, the gospel of their salvation. At the moment of salvation, we gain all the benefits of what Christ did on the cross. He removed the penalty of our sin. Jesus Christ's death on the cross for our sins saved us from being judged for our sins in eternity. It's called the Great Exchange. Jesus took our sins upon himself, and he bore the punishment in our place for our sins in his body. And in exchange, what does he give us? His very own life, his eternal life. So Jesus Christ delivered us from the penalty of our sin at the cross, and now since we have been given this gift through faith in him, this gift of eternal life, Satan knows that he can't take away our eternal life. You know, eternal security is one of those truths that give us so much confidence, doesn't it? That we're eternally secure in the Lord Jesus. We are reminded of this in Romans chapter 8. If you want to turn there, Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that great? That nothing, not death or life, nothing in life, not these angels and demons that we were talking about in Ephesians 6, no principalities or powers, they don't have power over the Lord Jesus' salvation that he's given us, this so great salvation. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Satan knows he cannot take away our eternal life, and Satan cannot cause the gates of hell to prevail against the church. Satan cannot, we said that we have been conveyed into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Well, Satan cannot, I don't know if it's a word, but he can't unconvey us from the kingdom. He can't do that. We're in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, whom he loves, the one who redeemed us. Satan cannot snatch us from the hand of God. He's not that powerful. So instead, what does he do? He tries to stop us from utilizing the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in our lives. You know, Jesus Christ wants to live his life through his Spirit. You know, that is the stage we are in. This is the spiritual battle we are in. We don't wrestle against people in this world. They are not the enemy. Did not Christ die for all? All are savable. If we think that people are the enemy, we are forgetting which dispensation we're living in. We are living in what time? The time of the church age, which is composed of both Jew and Gentile in one body. You know, we make up the body of Christ. Jesus Christ is the head, and we are the members of his body. When was it in time past that God's people had physical enemies? Remember in the Old Testament? God used his people Israel to represent him. They were to be a light to the Gentiles. God often used Israel to be even his instrument of wrath, being called to wipe out complete people groups because of their wickedness. But then when Israel disobeyed, God did the same to them, judged them. You know, but is that our calling? Is that to wipe out people groups? Absolutely not. We as believers in this current church age are called to do what? To love our enemies. We are called to turn the other cheek. We are called to do good to those who hate us, to pray for those who despitefully use us and persecute us. Is this something that we can do in our flesh? Absolutely not. This is something that we can generally tell God, Lord, this is impossible for me to do. And he says, I know. That's why I want to do it through you. He wants to do the work through us. He wants to work in us that love for people that hate us, that use us to represent him in this evil world. Don't you think that Stephen, the first martyr for Jesus Christ, had an impact by praying for those who were being used by the enemy at his death? Do you think he had an impact? What were the words he prayed at his death? He said, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." Lord, do not charge them with this sin. Does that sound familiar? What did Jesus pray? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I'll bet the Apostle Paul remembered Stephen's prayer. You think he did? Before Paul was saved, when his name was Saul, he was there at the stoning of Stephen. Those stoning Stephen laid down their clothes at the feet of Saul while they stoned Stephen. You know, Stephen, what was he? He was an imitator of Jesus Christ, his Lord, in his life and in his death. Do we realize that everything that Jesus Christ did when his enemies mistreated him, he gives us the power to do also through his Spirit? How is this possible? Because Jesus Christ lives out his life through the power of his Spirit when we are walking in fellowship with him. Didn't he say, "It's better that I go," and he's going to send the Comforter? You know, when Jesus was here, he was in one spot, right? Now, just imagine, all around the world, all the believers, he's working through each one, if we let him. He's working. We're the body of Christ. Remember that verse, I think our brother Joel shared it a couple weeks ago, and it's one of my favorite. You don't have to turn there, but it's Galatians 2:20, where Paul says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." So no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. What a privilege to have the Lord Jesus working through us. It is God who works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You know, we live in this weak human flesh, don't we? That still has a sin nature in it. But we do not walk according to it. If we do, we will become miserable. I think the most miserable people in this world are not actually the unbelievers. I believe it's believers who are walking in, out of fellowship with their Savior perpetually. You know, when we're out of fellowship with God and we don't confess our sin, we will not be content because we're under God's discipline. You know, we won't be content. And if you're like me, you've probably been there and done that, and it's not a happy thing, is it? It's not a content thing to be out of fellowship with the Lord for a long period of time. So how are we to walk then? Well, we're to walk in our new nature. It says in Scripture that we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Second Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 6, where Paul is writing to the Corinthian Christians, telling them that he does not walk according to the flesh. And he says in verse 3, Second Corinthians? Yes, yeah, 2 Corinthians 10, starting at verse 3. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." So again, verse 3 says, "For though we walk in the flesh," you know, we're in these bodies with the sin nature, What does it say? We do not war according to the flesh. We don't fight flesh with flesh. That doesn't work. You know, we are not waging a physical war, but we are in spiritual warfare. Don't think of all the people around you that are trying to make your life miserable as your enemy. You know, oftentimes when we go through different things, what can set in when we experience all the evil in this world? What is something that can creep in to our thinking? It's bitterness. You know, if you ever see that root of bitterness, you know, the scripture says that the root of bitterness springing up, causing trouble, and by this many become defiled. We have to pray the Lord to just take that root out of us. When we have something, when someone has wronged us and we think about it over and over and over, it's probably a little tiny root of bitterness developing. You know, I've always thanked the Lord for brothers who have pointed out that to me. If they see a root of bitterness in me, that they've pointed out to me, I've really appreciated that. Because that is something that will just neutralize our spiritual walk. Because not only does it cause problems for us in our relationship with God, that bitter root, but it says that many become defiled. Everyone around us, we become a toxic bitterness around people. And it makes us so our relationships with everyone does is defiled. So when we come across people, and maybe people even close to us, and maybe even believers who we know that are walking out of fellowship, what do we need to do? We need to pray for them. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. We have a mighty God. They're not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. You know, the Holy Spirit wants to give us victory in our lives by pulling down strongholds. Pulling down strongholds. That word for pulling down has also the idea of tearing down, for destroying. You know, the word for stronghold can also mean fortress. And I looked up the word stronghold, and it said that in the papyri, the word also had the meaning of prison. Whatever the stronghold is, it's something negative that God the Holy Spirit wants to tear down, to pull down, to destroy. God doesn't want his people to remain in prison. You know, Jesus Christ has set us free, hasn't he? He set us free. That is our position. But sometimes in our experience, we need to have some stronghold, some prison, some fortress. Maybe it's a besetting sin. There's something that needs to be torn out, torn down, destroyed from our lives. You know, whatever is hindering us from walking in the Spirit and glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ is a stronghold, and God wants to help pull those strongholds down. Then verse 5, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You know, our sinful flesh has all kinds of arguments, doesn't it? Reasons that oppose the Spirit and the knowledge of God. You know, how do we bring every thought into obedience of Christ? Well, we need our thinking transformed. Scripture says that we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. You know, how do we get our mind renewed in this sin-filled world? By sitting at the feet of Jesus, just like Mary did. Hearing his word, by letting the word of God dwell in us richly. You know, we are always in the transformation process. You know, we are either being renewed in the mind of Christ through his word, or we are being conformed to this world. We don't just stay the way we are. We're going one way or the other. We are either walking in newness of life in our new nature, or we are walking in the flesh. We cannot serve the Lord and feed the flesh at the same time. Our spirit and flesh are at war with each other. We need to remember this as believers. The spirit is against the flesh, and the flesh is against the spirit. There's a battlefield inside of us. It says it like this in Galatians, "For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish." You know, we as believers are in this spiritual battle, not only from without in this world, but also from within, in our mind. We as believers, through the power of the Spirit, are called to offer our lives as a living sacrifice. Turn with me to Romans 12. Romans 12. One of the things they say about a living sacrifice, you know, is they have free will and they can crawl right off that altar. I heard that said once. What does Paul say to the brethren here? He says, "I beseech you," Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We need our minds renewed. We need to be in the Word, in fellowship, in prayer. What is a living sacrifice? Well, whenever our sinful flesh wants to have its way, and instead of giving in, we surrender to the Lord, trusting in his word, and letting him show us the way of escape, that's a type of worship. You know, Jesus used the word during temptation, didn't he? Now, if Jesus, the Son of God, used the word in temptation, we should too. The word of God says, "Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." He's afraid of the Lord Jesus, and we're in Christ, so we're on the winning team. We're on the winning side. It's an offering of worship to the Lord when we look to Jesus in faith, even though we feel extremely weak and helpless. You know, that is worship. You know, the Lord helps the helpless. He doesn't help those who help themselves. He helps the helpless. Those are the type of believers that he likes to help. Those are the type of unbelievers Jesus wants to save. If people don't need help, Jesus can't help them. If people don't see they're a sinner, they're not going to need a Savior. You know, we may feel completely surrounded by the enemy on all sides at some times. But when we are weak like this, who is our strength? Well, it's the Lord Jesus. "When I am weak, then I am strong. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Yes, Jesus Christ, he loves when we look in faith to him in the midst of our weakness. He loves it. You know, Jesus Christ loves to fill empty vessels. Do you feel like an empty vessel today? Do you feel beaten down by the enemy who is constantly accusing you? The accuser of the brethren, what's his name? Satan. Satan may be the accuser of the brethren day and night, but we have an all-powerful defense attorney whose name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is our advocate. He's our defense attorney. Jesus Christ says yes about his children. Yes, they're guilty, but I died for those sins. Those sins are already paid for. We sang it this morning. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. You know, we are free. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ wants to fill you and I with so much of his love, his grace, his mercy. And when he does that, that's when it overflows from us to others. You know, this is how we can be a blessing to others. In Psalm 23, it says, "Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." As believers, there are three things that are vitally important to know. First, we need to know that we have that threefold enemy of our soul. Who is it? The devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh. You know, Satan, the one walking about seeking whom he devour like a roaring lion. And he uses this world system, our other enemy. You know, Satan infiltrates everything in this world. There's nothing he does not try to infiltrate. Everything in this world system he tries to infiltrate. His desire is to destroy the family unit. Of a dad and a mom and children. He infiltrates the government. Don't ever take confidence in any political party. Our confidence is in who? It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Until he reigns in this world as King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, every other political party or organization is going to, in the end, disappoint us. Even though we vote, yes, we vote, but our confidence is in the Lord. Satan infiltrates social media. Destroying so many people. He infiltrates entertainment. The entertainment of this world. There's so much evil entertainment. It shouldn't be part of our life. He infiltrates the news. You hear about this word, fake news. Well, he likes to infiltrate everything. Get us sidetracked. He infiltrates education. Don't get me started here. The health profession. Legalizing the murder of children. How wicked is that? No different than what they did in the Old Testament of sacrificing children to those idols. We have our own idols in this country. He wants to corrupt everything that God said it is good. He corrupts it. He wants to even corrupt the food we eat. You know, the worst thing, though, is he tries to infiltrate the church through false teachings, through division. Why do we have so many different denominations? That's not of the Lord. But there's so much false teaching out there. So the threefold enemy is the devil, the world, and then our own sinful flesh. So we need to know our enemy, right? Then two, we need to know and remember that we have the Lord Jesus Christ as our deliverer from the penalty of our sin. He's our deliverer also from the power of sin. So from the penalty, from the power of sin, and someday he will deliver us from the presence of sin. When he will call us to be physically with him. I know you can't wait for that. I can't wait for that day. He will call us with a shout when even at that time our bodies will be redeemed, completely stripped of the sin nature. Won't that be a glorious day? And number three, the third thing we need to remember is our true identity in Jesus Christ. We as believers are in Christ. That is our position. We are in Christ. Once in Christ, forever in Christ. We're in Christ forever. Jesus is our Savior. He's given us eternal life. And how long does eternal life last? It's eternal. It's forever. You know, because of this, we are also said to be co-heirs with Christ. That seems impossible to me and almost blasphemous. If it were not in the Word of God, I would never believe that I am a co-heir with Christ. But God's Word says it. It's true. Now, if it is true that we are in Christ, and it is true, then why would we want to walk in our flesh? You know, the things of the flesh only give us something temporary. They don't last eternal. You know, the unbeliever, they can only have their identity in their sin. You know, the unbeliever is named in Scripture by their sin. But how are we identified as believers? Even though we have a sin nature, how does the Lord look at us? He identifies us with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And our Lord Jesus Christ produces in us things that last forever, that give eternal glory to his name. You know, do we still have our sinful flesh? Yes, we do. Are we still tempted? Yes, we are. But we need to view temptation in a different way. It's an opportunity to worship God. Let me repeat that. We need to view temptation as an opportunity to worship God. But how does the enemy want us to view temptation? That's natural for you. That's how you were born. It's okay. Everyone does it. It's not a big thing. It's your God-given identity. You know, whenever the enemy tries to get us to think of our sin as our God-given identity, we are viewing ourselves according to the flesh instead of according to the Spirit. You know, the unbelievers in Scripture are viewed according to their sin patterns. There's lots of lists. I'll read some. It says fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. You know, the list can go on and on. In Proverbs, it reads, a proud look. These are the things that the Lord hates. A proud look, lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift to run to evil, false witnesses who speak lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. You know, this list could go on and on. Our flesh, left to itself, what does the Scripture say? It's deceitful above all else and desperately wicked. But there is a verse that says, and such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified by the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our Lord. Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ washed your sins away? I'm so thankful. Aren't you glad that you can have Jesus Christ as your new identity and not have the sins that he washed you from as your identity, or the sins that tempt you as your identity? But that is the trick of the enemy. He starts out by getting us to tolerate sin. Tolerate sin in the church. Then he gets us to fall into sin without confessing it, repenting. Then he gets us to live in sin and say it's our identity. And then he gets us to celebrate sin. I'm afraid in America, that is something that's happening in so many churches throughout the world. What a tragedy. Shame on the Church of God when we participate in this. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ needs to have the preeminence. We have that written in our entryway. The preeminence in the church. He's the head. You know, Jesus Christ is our deliverer from sin. He suffered on the cross of Calvary for all sin. Even the darkest, deep, ugliest sins that have ever been committed, he bore the penalty of those sins on the cross. Let's not ever expect him to tolerate, to condone, to overlook, or to celebrate our sin. Let's keep short accounts with God. You know, when the Holy Spirit is grieved within us because of a personal sin, let's confess and forsake our sin. Let's be quick to confess our sin. You know, I never was a wrestler or boxer. Have any of you, is there any boxer or wrestler in the house? No one's raising their hand. Oh, really? How many want it to be? How many watched it? Okay. All right. You know, when a person's down on the ground, what is the ref or whatever they call them? Don't they do a count? How much do they count? How long do they count? To 3 or 10? I always think it's 10.
Boxing, it's 10.
Okay, let's go with the boxing illustration. You know, that wrestler, they're trying to get up, or the boxer wants to get up. They don't stay down for the count. Well, I think oftentimes in our spiritual walk, we just give up. We stay down for the count. We say, it's hopeless. But the Lord Jesus Christ won for us not only victory from the penalty of sin, but from the power of sin in our lives. And he says in, I think it's 2 John, I write these things to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He has all the provisions for us. When we fall short of the glory of God, his glory, we can get back up. We don't have to stay down for the count. He leads us in victory. And the scripture says that if we confess our sin, he, that is God, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have everything we need to walk in newness of life. Even when we fail, we got to get right back up and keep moving. Jesus has taken our sins, what does it say in the Old Testament? As far as the east, which way is east? The east is from the west. Let's not think of our sin as our identity, but let's be proud of the fact that our identity is in nobody else but Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our life. The scripture says we died and our life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then we also, all of us here that believe on Jesus, we're going to appear with him in glory. You know, we as believers need to remember that our true identity is in Jesus Christ. It's not in our job. It's not in our children. It's not in our spouse. It's not in our relatives. It's not in our local church. It's not in our hobby. Our identity is not in our physical abilities, our talents, our money, our health, none of those things. You know, all these things are temporary. They're here today and gone tomorrow. But our identity in Jesus Christ lasts how long? Forever. He's given us eternal life forever. You know, let's boast about our true identity in Jesus Christ. You know, let's take pride in Jesus Christ. Let's not be ashamed of him. There may be areas in our life that we don't have the boldness. I know I have this. We all go through this. There might be a certain person that we don't have the boldness to share. We don't know how to share and what way we should share. Pray about it. We need to pray about it. And God will give us an opening. Let's not be ashamed in this wicked world to stand for truth. David, that worship, he's looking for worship, that worship in spirit and in truth. We don't forsake truth. We love all sinners, but we don't forsake truth. We demonstrate love to every type of sinner in this world. Every type, just like Jesus did. He hung out with all kinds of notorious sinners. The Pharisees couldn't believe who he was eating with. But Jesus didn't leave them like that, did he? He saved people, and then he said, go and sin no more. You know, we sing that song, just as I am, I come to thee. You know, we sing that song, but, you know, it's not that Jesus, we come in our state of ungodliness. At salvation, we don't clean up our life and then come to Jesus. No, in our state of ungodliness, he saves us. He justifies the ungodly, it says in Scripture. But then he doesn't leave us like that. You know, Jesus is a full-service Savior. Full service. He saves us to what? The uttermost. He doesn't want to leave us where we're at. He has a high calling for us, a high calling for each and every one of us. There are people, each of us have people in our life that no one is reaching, but we can. You and I can. Turn with me back to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and I'm just going to close. Close with these verses. We need to remember in this spiritual battle who the real enemy is. We need to rely on the Lord Jesus Christ, our only Savior. And we need to remember who we are in Jesus Christ and find our identity in him. I'm just going to close with this, and then I'll pray, and then we have a closing hymn. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son to save us completely through what he did on the cross, dying for our sins. He was buried. He rose again. We have eternal life. Thank you for giving us power, over, your strength in the midst of sin to walk in newness of life, even though we feel weak. Lord, help us to put on your armor, to use your word in the day of temptation, to call upon you and find deliverance, to always be ready to share that gospel of peace wherever we go with the people around us, to pray for one another as we go about this work. Thank you for giving us salvation. And Lord, we pray that in the remainder days that we have in this world until you call us home, we pray that we would be bold with your strength to share and represent your Son to this world that so desperately needs you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.